Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are pleased to have you join us tonight. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what you can do. Richard DeVos said that few things in the world are more powerful than a positive push, a smile, a world of optimism and hope, a you can do it when things are tough. The truth is, what you can do in your own strength pales in comparison to what you can accomplish through the power of God in your heart and life. If you are tired and frustrated with life, stay with us and find out what the Bible says. But first, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, any special thoughts about tonight's topic?
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. You know, it was good that you had some quotes there to give, you know, people's perspective or insight on optimism, on energy, if you will. You know, Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. If you look at his life, you'd be inclined to believe that. He accomplished quite a few things that, from a human perspective, it just couldn't happen. Certainly hadn't been done before. Now, even Jimmy Carter said, you can do what you have to do, and sometimes you can do it even better than you think you can. Now, at the risk of flying in the face of all of that, I submit to you what we really can accomplish really only has power and value and merit if it's founded in Christ. That does not mean that everybody has to become Billy Graham. And in fact, I think that's a good thing, because all of us have people that we can reach that Billy Graham would have never met. All of us have people that we have a connection to that most other people do not. That means you are the person that is unique and special that God can use in a powerful way. And because of that, I believe it really creates a need for each of us to be willing to grow spiritually, to look for the opportunities and ways that we can develop our talents and skills to be used for the glory of God. You know, I appreciate great quotes, great speakers, and they impact so many people. But I don't want any of our listeners, I don't want Jim, you, or myself to ever feel like those are the only people that have the big platform, the big way to reach folks. The reality is, every day you and I come in contact with folks that no one else will reach. And we need to be prepared for that point. And the quotes that our great teachers and speakers can come up with always pale in comparison to what God can come up with. In fact, God's word is always right. You know, as men and women of Christ, when we get things right, it's nice, it's good. When we get that word that just connects, it feels great. But God's word is 100%. It's always on target, always working. God's help always works. And I think that's important to understand. We have great opportunities with all the things that are going on in this world, all the things that you can get frustrated by, all the negativity that you can certainly hear by turning on the news, or even sometimes sitcoms, things of that nature have a very negative bent at this point in time. The reality is, God is still working. He's still alive. And best of all, he's still alive working within us, his people. So I encourage our listeners, do not be discouraged. Do not be frustrated. In fact, I encourage you to look for the ways that you can grow spiritually. And Jim, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at some of the scriptures that give us strength and foundation and confidence to grow spiritually. So why don't you get us started off? The best way to grow is by spending time with God. Why not spend it in prayer? Would you get us started?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts and our will to you. Today in America, Father, we need a great revival, just as you worked through Jonah in that great city, Nineveh. Direct, I pray, a personal evangelism in each of us. those of us who are the called to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Convict us, Lord, to recognize how blessed we are in this nation. May we appreciate the privilege you've given us that allows us to elect by vote our leaders. Father, we recognize that you put these men and women in leadership roles, and we are to submit to them. But Father, we are also to stand up for what your principles, what your law says. We love you, Father. We thank you for all that you do for us. Father, especially, soften our hearts. Help us to remember, just as Jesus was kind when people were not kind to him and loving when people didn't love him. Father, hard to do, but because of the Holy Spirit that indwells all those who have stepped out in faith to accept Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit enables us in ways that we can't imagine, in ways that we're incapable of. Father, we love you. It's in the name of Jesus, our Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just before we begin, let me remind you that if you would like to ask a question, you can email your question to ask@askthepastornow.com. That's ask@askthepastornow.com. Also, if you are listening from the archives, you can call and leave your question for us by dialing 1-866-275-4472. You will choose option 1. And if you're calling tonight on our live broadcast, you can reach us at 646-716-7765. Now, let's begin our study as we begin with what you can do to grow spiritually.
Well, that's so great and so true, Jim. There's a hunger, I trust, among God's people to begin growing spiritually. I think that's so very important. You know, during your prayer, you mentioned about the importance of the election coming up. And I was struck by what I consider a contradiction that I heard recently. I heard some press people, and they were making an announcement about basically they were trying to say that this candidate's ahead and this candidate's behind, or these candidates are pretty close. But what was interesting to me when they made these statements is that they said that this is based on people that they had inquired. And then they did another poll that they had out there, and they said these were registered voters who would be voting. And I thought, isn't it amazing that we would even bother to ask the opinion of people who aren't actually going to vote? You know, it's as though we're going to allow them to sway other people's opinions, and yet they don't care enough to show up at the poll. You know,
right.
My compliments, my congratulations to those of you who are listening. I trust that's most of our audience. I trust you to be of a higher breed. And my compliments to you that if you are a person of character that has taken the time to register to vote, and you absolutely intend to get out there and cast your vote to make a difference. Some of you do that by mail. Some of you will do that in person. But whatever method you use to get your vote out, my compliments to you that you care enough and value your freedom enough to step up to that challenge. And, you know, that's something about growing as a citizen, that you accept the responsibility. You demonstrate the integrity that goes along with being a citizen. So my compliments, first of all, to that group of people out there listening. And to you as believers, there's also something that comes with being a Christian, and that is a commitment to grow spiritually. You know, Charles Finney said, a state of mind that sees God in everything is evidence of growth in grace and a thankful heart. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to compartmentalize God. We put him in our little boxes, and, you know, he comes out on Sunday occasionally, comes out pretty consistently on Easter, and even occasionally at Christmas time, but then only as a baby in a manger. The realization is that every day we get up with a fresh opportunity, not only to serve him, but to get to know him better, to get closer to him, to get stronger in our faith. I think that's very important. To grow spiritually is to get to know him better, to look for him in the moments that are going on around us. I think that's all very powerful. Frederick W. Robertson said, "It is not the number of books you read, nor the variety of sermons you hear, nor the amount of religious conversation in which you mix, but it is the frequency and the earnestness with which you meditate on these things, till the truth in them becomes your own and part of your being, that ensures your growth." By the way, I don't think your growth can be a private thing. I think that's very important. And Jim, by that, what I'm referring to is the fact that we as believers who know Christ and make the decision to get to know Him better and fall in love with Him fresh every day, I think that as we grow spiritually, there's also this hunger to go out and reach others with that, to be a comfort to other people. Now, Jim, can you imagine having an occasion where you claim that you know the gospel, claim that you get into His word, but then never take the time to share His word, never take the time to offer that word of encouragement to people? How would your life be different if you went out and always to somehow managed to avoid talking with other people?
You know, Pastor, that is something, haunt is not the right word for me, but it bothers me a great deal that I'm not as persuasive sometimes in my conversation or my conduct for that matter, because once you step out in faith and the Holy Spirit begins to indwell you, I don't think I'm any different than you are, Pastor, or any other born-again Christian. I think that Holy Spirit, you never forget what you're called to do. But more important, I look at people around me that I know are not saved, and even worse, not even interested in hearing, you know, the gospel, the good news. And it's frustrating at times and challenging at other times, but I worry about them when you think about, they're not going to heaven. They're not going to be with me. I just wish sometimes I knew exactly what to say, but I know that salvation comes sometimes much later in life for some than others. So I just appreciate the fact that God lets us participate in the plan of salvation. We get to participate because we're the ones that are interacting, and the people that I interact with may not be the same people you do. So we each have a privilege of a certain audience that we attract, and they find us attractive, and it gives us the opportunity to say, there is something after this life, and it's perfect, and it's eternity, and it's wonderful, and it's so wonderful, we can't describe it, as one of our pastors have said. If we knew how wonderful heaven was, we'd all be stepping in front of a bus to get there sooner. So I just think it's just the tapestry that God weaves in all of us to be pulled together as a body is just phenomenal. I went to preaching, so Pastor. I apologize.
Yeah, you're doing good. That's fine. Let me ask you, I know you have a strong background in sales. You're very good at it. Are you familiar with the expression, "We have the cookie"? You know what I mean by that?
We have the cookie. I am not familiar with that. I haven't worked in food service at all, Pastor.
Well, actually, if you were at my house, "we have the cookie" is not an expression you would use often because I usually get to them first. But
I understand.
It is a sales term, and what it refers to is that the message that for the shy salesman, if you will, which almost seems like an oxymoron, but if you're the shy salesman, one of the things to remember is you have the cookie. In other words, you have that thing that people want and desire. And sometimes it's good for a shy salesman to realize, no, you do have the cookie. You don't have to be quiet about your product. You don't even have to be ashamed of your product. All you really need to do is let people know about your product because they're already hungry for it. And, you know, you just have to paint the picture of that cookie and let them know how delicious and how wonderful it is. And I bring that up because there are people who are born again. They're saved. They're pleased that they have salvation, and they know that they should share the gospel, but they're very timid about opening up and speaking anything religious to anybody. You know, we can ask them about the weather, the time, we can tell them about sports, or at least that's what other people can do, and then, I'll admit it, I'm not too savvy in that department, but, you know, by the same token, we recognize that you know, I got something special in Jesus Christ. I have forgiveness. I have healing. I have just to feel the presence of the very Spirit of God within you. You know, we should begin to paint that picture not as a burden, but as a blessing. You know, if you're the kind of person that says, oh, I have to go to church on Sunday, or I have to go to church tonight, you're just painting a negative picture of the cookie. And they don't want your cookie. It sounds like a diet cookie at that moment. And don't want no diet cookie. You know, it's, you know, they not only reduce the calorie, they took the flavoring out while they're at it. You know, no, you got the cookie that changes lives. And so by all means, part of growing spiritually is making what you have in Christ attractive. So attractive, in fact, that others will want it. And if you're feeling timid or shy about sharing the gospel, remember, you're the one with the cookie. You're the one that has something so powerful and special. It changed your life, and it can change others. And if you're still tempted to say, "But why this whole growing spiritually? I don't know if I want that." 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." But think about it. To grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. So if you're tempted to say, I just don't know, it's yet another command. It's yet another blessing. God, through Peter, wrote this message to people. He said, grow in grace and in the knowledge. So we're supposed to be growing spiritually. It's not intended for us to get saved, sit back, coast, and say, I'm blessed, sorry about you. No. It's supposed to be something we can share and feel good about and grow and mature in our faith. Yeah. So I think that's important to understand and to grasp and realize. And we start off young, maybe immature spiritually, whatever age we get saved. And you're right, Jim. Some people get saved early. Some people get saved later in life. But the point is, there needs to be this passionate desire to grow. Jim, what's 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3? Tell us about that.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Now think about that for a moment. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, that means you know God is good. You know firsthand what it's like to be forgiven. You know firsthand what the grace of God is like. Now, Jim, share with folks for a minute. Think about that. If you have this, and if you have this passionate desire to start feeding right off, even as a baby Christian, and you've tasted the salvation, how should that make us feel about sharing the gospel?
Well, I think, Pastor, it's something you can't contain. How can you be so selfish? And I guess this is what I was trying to get at earlier when I spun off out of control, but how can you know how wonderful this is, and as you begin to read the Bible and God starts speaking to you and you start learning more about him and you start stepping out in faith, as you've taught us, the men are called to be the spiritual head of the household. We have a responsibility. But not only that, I think of those in my own family who are not believers. Yeah, they're agnostic. They're not sure. And they think there's a God, but they're not sure. And it disturbs me to no end, because I can't wait till they realize it, till either their life bottoms out and there's no way to get out. Then it seems like suddenly, hey, now I'm ready to learn about your God and about Christ. Well, it's disturbing, but it's also a responsibility. And when you see somebody that you've, you know, invited to church or you've shared the gospel with, seem to be interested, it's like a shot of adrenaline, isn't it, Pastor? Whenever you hear somebody say, God bless you, when they sneeze, they don't just say bless you. You know, I got to get out of that habit, by the way. It's not just bless you. It's God bless you. I believe in God. There is a God. And when you look at young children, you know, I became a grandfather. Oh, I don't want to get started here, but I'm a grandfather, and I saw them today, and I think, oh, my God, what have you wrought? Such wonder, it's so fantastic. I can't even describe the feeling that comes over me, except it makes me cry. And that's the God we serve, is he loves us so much, and he manifests that in so many ways by the people he puts in our lives, by the work we do and how we accomplish things that we know we're not capable of. So I just don't know how to contain that information or that feeling. So it's almost the more you get into the Word, the more you want to share it. And that's the key, I believe, is reading so God can speak to you and then prepare you and admonish you and love you, and then pray. It's not a one-sided, it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue.
That's so true. And you know, that is exercise. That's growing spiritually stronger each day. I also like this verse because it's referring to, as newborn babes, desire this sincere milk of the Word that you can grow. Now, think about that for a moment. You have a grandchild, in fact, two grandchildren in your life at this point.
Right.
Now, so recently, you have been around a baby, correct?
Yes.
So we're gonna draw on some of that giant knowledge you have now, having been around a baby recently. First question, is the scripture correct that they do desire milk? Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. And so when a baby desires milk, am I correct that they get up, run on into the kitchen, open up the refrigerator, grab some milk, start fixing it, and pour themselves a cup and drinks it as they go back into the living room watching TV? Is that how that works?
No, it doesn't, Pastor. They need somebody to give them the milk and to provide for them.
You see, that's the thing. As newborn babes, young Christians have the desire, and they have the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. But it's up to the mature Christian, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or just a Christian who has grown, to be there to watch out for the younger Christians, to help them to understand the Word, to set the example of getting into the Word. We oftentimes sit back and think it's up to somebody else when we should recognize that person around us who might be a new believer, and they're easy to spot as they're growing in their faith. But I think it should also be easy to spot the person who has a level of maturity and kindness. And I think it is an act of kindness to help that person grow. And maybe it's something as simple as helping them to find a passage when the pastor announced the text they're going to preach from or the teacher is going to teach from. Maybe it's nice just when you see them struggling with passages, say, can I help you with that verse? That I've got to use that in my life. Can I share with that with you a little bit? Those little steps are big steps and comforting to that believer who's growing in their faith. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have this responsibility, this commitment, that we are expected to study and to grow and mature. But I think especially around younger Christians, part of our growing process is to learn to help others to grow, to bring them with us on this process. And we do that by really focusing in on passages that give us direction, that give us strength and comfort. In fact, Jim, what's 1 Timothy 4:15 have to share?
Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all.
So how does that translate into your day-by-day walk? What do you do with that?
Well, the word that comes out large in my eyes is meditate upon these things. And I think that's an interesting departure from what a lot of folks think, and including myself at times, is I just have to read it and then I, you know, pray and then I get dressed and go to work. And I believe the word meditate, there's a lot of action in that word. What does meditate mean? And I've heard pastors say this, I've heard you say this, that when you meditate upon words, on God's Word, you're saying, okay, Father, and these are the questions I ask sometimes, Father, does that have any application in my life? Are you speaking to me about that? Is that something I should be concerned about? What are you saying here, Father? And God will show you. You meditate on it. You say, does this have any application in my life or what's going on in my life? So meditate, I think, means to study it and then try to draw from that passage or that verse exactly how can I use that information. I have the wisdom of the universe is ready to meet with me anytime I want. I need to understand because every word is important. And so when I meditate on it and I stop, I pause and I say, what does that mean? I wonder what that has to do with my life. Or is it someone else that's in my life right now that could use that word, that information? And so it's an action word that calls me to ponder and to think and to explore. I think that's the whole key to the sentence.
I thoroughly agree with you. You know, to me, I think Christians tend to break up into two groups. You have gourmet Christians and you have timer Christians. Now, the gourmet Christians have come to understand this verse here. As they're reading the word, they chew on it, they digest it, they savor it, they want all the nuances of it. And as you said, they want to see, what's this mean for me, God? How am I supposed to change my life because of this verse? And what should I learn from it? How can I touch another life because of this? And then you have the timer Christians. You know, these are the ones that when they're doing their Bible study, they say, well, I'm supposed to do this study for 10 minutes today, or I'm supposed to do it for 15 minutes.
Right.
I'd like to give it an hour, but
right.
I surely really can't go beyond 15 minutes. I've got something
I got bigger things to do. I got much bigger things to do than sit with God.
That's right. He's just the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and saved me. So
Yeah.
So think about that for a moment. What if, since the Word of God is the food for the believer, okay, what if we carry that over to the kitchen for a moment? Okay, so the timer Christian is going to walk in there and say, oh, that food looks good. I can eat for 10 minutes, and then I'm leaving, and that's it. Versus the person who just, they just smell it, they taste it, they enjoy it, they savor it, and they take their time eating, and they're able to digest it properly. Whereas the person who ran out the door after guzzling everything down they could get in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, who is the healthier person? Who is the person who is enjoying the day and growing in their life? It's the person who savored what they got a hold of. And I think that's important to understand, that what God has for us is very powerful and important for us to savor, to value, to take up. And I know it's hard to believe, but our time has flown by us in this first part. But it's so important to get a hold of the fact that we can grow spiritually. I think we have an obligation to grow spiritually and to bring the younger Christians along with us as we do this. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we know that it can get in there and do the healing, the correction that we need. But we need to be the ones coming to the Word of God and drawing from that and learning how we can grow spiritually. I think that's important to understand. I think it's incredible to get a hold of and understand that God can do His perfect work in our lives in a very wonderful way and a very powerful way. And so, Jim, thank you for working with us on this time, and I encourage our listeners to stay with us, because when we get back together again, we're going to really find some more meaty verses that talk to us and tell us what we can do as we learn to grow spiritually. It is important, and it is exciting.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.
Do you believe in spirit beings? Do you think that that kind of thing is just for non-believers? Then what about angels? In Dr. Lyon's series, Angels, Real and Supernatural, you will find out about the role that angels play in our lives, how they are manifest, and about the Angels Organization. We believe you will find this a fascinating study on a subject that is rarely taught or discussed. This series is a starting point to understand the supernatural beings that are at work in the heavens and here on earth. Order your set at askthepastornow.com. That's askthepastornow.com. Order your set today.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome back to Ask the Pastor Now as we continue our study of what you can do to grow spiritually. I'm Jim Simmons and I hope you're as ready as I am to get back into God's Word. And I want to invite you back in a couple of weeks. Also, we're going to be, as you heard our commercial earlier, we're going to be back in that series of the study of angels. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be in about 2 weeks. Well, Pastor, let me start by asking you about the need for spiritual growth. How does spiritual growth impact our salvation? If we are not spiritually growing, are we saved?
Well, thank you, Jim, for asking that question. I think it's one that people wonder about. They might be slow to express it to somebody, but I think it even troubles them and slows them down spiritually. So that's important to understand. First of all, let me say that if you have become a born-again Christian, it was God who did the saving. That's important to understand. When you called out to Him, His Word says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, no, wait, that's something else. That's more about growth. Let's stay back to the beginning. When we get saved, what we do is we acknowledge our sin. We, acknowledge that He is Christ, and we ask Him to save us. See, with the heart we believe to righteousness, and with our mouth confession is made unto salvation. We ask for forgiveness. We accept Him. We acknowledge that He is the Christ. Those are the simple elements of salvation. And He's the one who does the saving. We just simply do the calling out to Him. So that's the difference. Now, once you are saved, there's this opportunity to grow. That's that whole process. We have, justification. Just as though we'd never sinned, that's how God sees us. That's at the moment of salvation. But there's sanctification. There's that process, step by step, baby steps, if you will, where we begin growing and getting closer to God each and every day of the week. So what if we're not growing spiritually? What's going on there? There was a Scottish author, poet, minister, George MacDonald, who said, all growth that is not toward God is growing to decay. So our spiritual life isn't getting stronger. Our spiritual life is anything getting weaker, is what he's saying, if what you're focusing is not on God. But that doesn't mean your salvation's gone. What it means is your strength of character as a believer, your ability to witness, your ability to even really appreciate what you got a hold of. John Henry Newman said, growth is the only evidence of life. So, if you've never grown at all and you continue not to grow, I can see why a person would wonder if you ever did get saved. But if you have got saved, if you did know Him as Savior and Lord, sometimes we make the mistake, and sometimes even the person who leads you to Christ makes a mistake, of not taking it one step further, of encouraging you to get plugged into a local church or getting into the Word of God and studying. In fact, the answer is both of those things. You need to begin reading the Word of God for yourself and being around other believers and have godly teaching to grow in your faith. Because if you grow in your faith, you're going to grow spiritually. You will get stronger. All those things come into play. Doesn't change the fact that you're saved. It changes your living life. Have you already got eternal salvation? Yes. But growing spiritually allows you to enjoy what you have more each and every day. Jim, I think sometimes I've known people who had just enough salvation to be miserable. They knew that they were going to heaven, but then they also didn't know enough to be comfortable to being around other believers or in church or holy things. In fact, they're very uncomfortable with them because they're not comfortable in the world anymore, and they're not comfortable mm-hmm. in church. So then we need to grow just so we can value what we got a hold of. That's an amazing thing. You know, I recall years ago when one of my early jobs, I worked for Singer. And one of their finest machines that they had in there, I was not selling them. I was selling the low end, and occasionally I was selling the really high end, but nothing in the middle. And I had a manager come over to me and said, "Why do you never sell the middle machines?" And I says, "I can't get them to work. So if I can't get them to work, why would I sell them to anybody?" And he was shocked because that was like the bread and butter of their machine. So he was kind enough not just to get upset, but he sat down with me for about 30 minutes and just showed me the features of the machine and how to use it. And suddenly I fell in love with those machines. They're like real workhorses. Boy, those things are good, you know. And I think that's what happens. As believers, we don't know what we got a hold of, and somebody didn't take the time to sit down beside you and said, "Let me explain a little bit about the Bible to you. Let me make it easier so you'll know what you're looking for." Jim, tell me, have you had people tell you the importance that you need to have a quiet time?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. We know that. We hear that a lot, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Okay. How often have you had people get up and explain in detail, "This is how you have a quiet time"?
You know, Pastor, very, very seldom do you hear it. And that's, I think, one of the faults that we have at church sometimes is that we offer the gospel, they come forward, they accept Christ, and they go back to their chair, and that's it. I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
and we wait on something to happen, I suppose.
And think of a lot of the churches we have today. I mean, you have this great music program. Everybody is swinging and swaying, having a grand old time. And, you know, you get almost more of a motivational speech than a gospel message. And so when you leave, aren't you left with the message that everything is going to be good now? Is that a fair statement? Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be awesome. You got God. You got Jesus. Everything's going to be good. Right?
No, now, it's not right.
So what happens to that poor soul who might be the brand new Christian, and Monday morning it's like everything goes wrong? Isn't it perfectly logical they're going to wonder what they got a hold of?
Well, either that or they're going to question, did I really get saved? And I just think that's where we kind of leave it, and they're completely broadsided because, or blindsided, because they think, well, I'm saved now. I am going to have a wonderful life. And I think it's the opposite. I think Satan's going to say, "Oh, goodness, I got to really," he probably doesn't say goodness, does he? "I got to really beat this guy up, or he'll start spreading good news."
That's right. That's right. You know, there's a good quote from Charles Stanley, a little long, but there's a lot of wisdom in what he says. Do you have that? We were sharing it earlier. It's one that starts off about adversity.
Yes, adversity is not simply a tool. It is God's most effective tool for the advancement of our spiritual lives. The circumstances and events that we see as setbacks are oftentimes the very things that launch us into periods of intense spiritual growth. Once we begin to understand this and accept it as a spiritual fact of life, adversity becomes easier to bear. And that is so refreshing, isn't it, Pastor, to think that even the bad things that come into our life that, you know, you've said before, nothing can come into a Christian's life that God didn't either send or allow, not for maliciousness, but to grow us up in the likeness of Christ. So it has a purpose, and it's the honing of this diamond that we are.
Absolutely true. It's amazing, you know. For whatever reason, recently I was thinking about the process. I remember in school at some point we had to do some kind of a craft, and I got the weird assignment of making this chisel. So it meant cutting off metal and shaping the metal, and the way you shaped it was by first running it through the blast furnace, getting it up to temperature. And, you know, over the years I always go back to that, and I think, you know, how many times has God had to take me back to the furnace of life and get me warmed up so he could shape me and bring me back in? You know, not always a pleasant experience, but always one that was worth the experience, because it taught me things about him, about his character, about how much he really did love me. You know, I've never gone through those fires but what he didn't come with me. You know, and I think that's a powerful understanding a believer should learn to know. And we can grow spiritually, and sometimes it's going through the fires, but it's always walking with him. You know, and that's the incredible part. I think the sooner our hearts become tender and bent for God, the better off we'll be, the easier the road will be, because, you know, he can whisper to us in those quiet moments as we walk with him and we share with him and get to know him better. You know, when we have to go through the storms, we have to really pay attention and listen hard. How much nicer if we can just walk down the road and share with him and know him better. Jim, you have Colossians 1, 9 through 11 there. Would you just read through those and maybe share the strengths, maybe the things that pop out to you that touch you?
Absolutely. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I know exactly why you gave me this verses to read, Pastor. This could be a program in and of itself. There's a lot of meat on those bones. So in the first verse, in that first, in nine, in the verse nine, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. That is so exciting to imagine that there's knowledge of his will and it's available to me. He's not saying you got to jump through this hoop. It's available. And the spiritual understanding, the wisdom, and I remember you taught us in James that if we lack wisdom, we're to just simply ask for it. And then in verse 10, it goes on, increasing in the knowledge of God. And the first thing that leapt to mind is increasing. And I think what comes to mind is it'll never stop increasing, will it? We'll never get it all, will we, Pastor? We'll never understand all of God. And then finally, strengthened. Now that word means that something is going to occur to me, in my mind and my body. I'm being strengthened with all might. And in the latter part of that same verse, it says, with joyfulness, not happiness. And I think you've made that distinction before, but joyfulness. And I think you told us that joy is not based on circumstances. It's something that supersedes our feelings. Am I correct?
That's very true. And that's important to understand. It's not situational.
Situational. Right.
Yeah. It's so important to understand the joy that we have in Christ. That's consistent, whether we're going through the valley or whether we're on the mountaintop. And so that's powerful. That's important. And so his strength, his kindness, his mercy for us, it's fresh every day that we get to know him. I think it's just powerful. You know, Paul was writing to the believers at Colossae, which is why it's called Colossians. And he was excited about their growth. He was excited about them being reached with the gospel. But it's also a reality that, you know, they were growing and they had gone through the challenges. He was desiring that they would grow, that they'd also show the fruit of that growth. So here they are basically in a cold world that was hostile to what we believe. And he's trying to assure them of the confidence that they can have in Christ, in the gospel, in the heavenlies. And he says, for this cause, from the moment we heard about that you've become a believer, this is what has been our desire. So all those wonderful things, folks, that Jim just shared with you about we have in God, those were the desires that Paul had for these young believers. So if you're a mature Christian, regardless of your age, the spiritual maturity, I hope you look at younger believers and aren't frustrated with them, aren't, you know, impatient, but instead you're passionately excited about what they've just gotten a hold of, and you'll take the time to encourage them and share with them that joy that you have in Christ. You know, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So in other words, we should be spending that time with each other, encouraging, you know, and even that admonishing usually refers to correction. And I like the way we correct each other. We correct each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it's important that the songs we sing are songs of sound doctrine. You know, I remember years ago, you know, I was hungry for some good gospel music, and I was in a town that didn't have a lot of, you know, Christian stores, but I found in this used store where somebody had traded in this old gospel tape. I thought, oh, great, so I can at least listen to that. And so I got in the car and started to play it, and on comes this song, and the words of the song basically were, if working and praying has any reward, then surely some morning I'll meet my dear Lord. You know, I'll climb the Mount Zion, I'll climb the high hill. If anyone makes it, surely I will. And I thought, that's not even close to the plan of salvation, let alone the truth of the gospel. You know, if working and praying is anywhere, surely I'll make it. In other words, naturally, God, I'm so good, I'm going to make it. We just know that. You know, no, that's ridiculous. What we have in Christ is because of Christ. And so that little song, as hungry as I was for gospel music and I played it, I suddenly realized I had to stop listening because of the fact that, you know, it would have taught me unsound doctrine. It would have gotten stuck in my head. And guess what? After all these years, it's still stuck there. I can still recall it rapidly. But fortunately, I recall it because I was shocked at how unscriptural it was. I think it's, you know, to the credit of every song leader, minister of music we have in our churches, when they are sound in their doctrine and sound in the music they use. It doesn't mean we can't have different styles of music, but I'm talking about the message of the song. It's got to be consistent. It's got to be sound in doctrine. Something as simple as, there was a praise chorus some years ago that came out, and it made you warm and fuzzy as you sang it. But the thing I noticed is that it had one verse where it praised God the Father, another verse where it praised and lifted up Jesus, and another one that praised and lifted up the Holy Spirit. That all sounds good. Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And he goes on to explain that he'll present them to the Father. The Spirit of God, however, does not draw attention to himself. He works in the background. He creates an atmosphere. He corrects us. He teaches and admonishes us. But nowhere in Scripture are we told to lift up and praise the Holy Spirit. And we honor the Father, the Spirit of God, or Jesus, the Son, wants to take us into the throne room of the Father. And so, in other words, they're not to be, even though they're equally three persons, they're to be worshipped in different ways and appreciated in different ways. So here was a song that missed that sound doctrinal principle, and everybody in the room is repeating it to themselves over and over and over, a piece of beautiful but false doctrine. And so we have to watch for those things. How? By admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we use the scriptures and we use our music, we use it with sound teaching, sound doctrine, so that when we hear the songs in our head and we're humming them through the course of the day somewhere, you know, we're just drawing ourselves closer to God and more sound in our doctrine as we do it. And, you know, we want to become right boldly into the throne room of God and meet with Christ and be with him face to face and grow in our faith. You know, that's really part of what Paul was sharing in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Jim, I think you have that with us. Why don't you share that and what's on your heart?
But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, Pastor, to me, I think you've taught us we need to break this sentence down. It says, but we all, and if we could skip the part that's in parentheses, it helps me see this verse a little clearer. But we all, skip the part in parentheses, or in commas, but we are all changed into the same image, and I would think, is that the image of God, Christ-like, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So leaving out, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, In other words, I'm holding up a piece of glass and I'm seeing the glory of the Lord. So we are all changed into the same image, Christ-like, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord that's changing us, right?
Right. He's saying, you know, with that reference to as in a glass or the glory of the Lord, think of it like a mirror. You know, we look at our faces in a mirror and we should be seeing an equal reflection back. And so what he's saying is that, but we're all to be changed into that same image of the Lord from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So in other words, he's the closer we get to him, the better we understand him, the more we worship him, the more we'll become like him. We'll even be a reflection of him. And I think that's exciting because that means people of this world would get to know Christ a little bit better just because of your walk and the way you respond to things. They're going to say, that has got to be a Christian. I'm reminded of, you know, we're called Christians first at Antioch by lost people who could look at those folks and say, those people are just like Jesus the Christ. And so they were getting a witness just by the way these people lived their lives. And so that's what the scripture is talking about. We're going to be changed into his image just by getting closer to him, living more like him, understanding him more. You know, Psalm 92:12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, will grow like the cedar in Lebanon. These are plants that grow strong even in a desert region, and they thrive even more in a lush region. So whether it's dry and difficult or strong and fresh, they grow with strength and character, and that's the Christian. We're supposed to be like Christ. We're to be growing stronger in our faith. And people should be able to see that growth, not just in Bible study class, not just they heard you sing the special this past Sunday in church and didn't you do a wonderful job. No, it's that they should see your walk in the workplace or on the side of the road or something like that. The lives you touch. You know, I've gotten into this habit lately, and, you know, even if it's a restaurant I haven't been to before, I'll go on in and, you know, I'll see the person who's serving up the food or the person who's taking orders, or maybe it's the manager might be staying there, and just get a conversation with them. And especially if you see something in that expression that says there's a little pain going on, you know, ask them, said, how is everything? Is everything all right? You know, and I've been surprised in the last few weeks, the ones that I've walked up to fairly consistently that had a family member who had been in an accident, who had been in trouble, who were sick in some way. And that simple question, and talking to him, said, well, look, I just, you know, and find a few moments, ask some more questions, but before you leave, offer that, you know, I'll be praying for this person. Can I get their first name, or can I get their, even if it's just the first name, I write it down, make a point of it, and then when I go back, I'll make a point of getting back into that place of business at some point within a couple of days and said, how are they doing? And call them by name, say, even if I have to check the note before I go in. I mean, that shocks the people. I've had a person I've been trying to reach for months with limited success. I walked in the other day. His mother had had a fall, who was, you know, 90 years old and in a facility. Found out today when I went back. And first thing, before I even went over there to get my order or anything, I went to him first. I said, how's your mom doing? I've been praying for her. I just wanted to get a follow-up. And he begins to just open up about how she's made some progress. She's going into the next section where she's out of the hospital proper, and they're moving her to where she can do some physical care. And it's like a total difference. Now this guy is willing to talk to me a little more. Now he's willing to open up a minute. Why? Because like a Christian is supposed to live, I took the moment just to find out where is the pain in this man's life and how can I try to help him. That is not a credit to me. That's a credit to what God can do through me, say. It's not pride, except the pride of seeing what God can do. So folks realize that, you know, where those palms were, where those cedars were in Lebanon, people needed the shade and they needed the resource, they needed the strength. And we live in a world where people are hurting, whether it's somebody in their family who's sick or just their hearts are broken. And if you have Jesus Christ, you have something that you can take and share and encourage them with. In fact, Jim, what's Philippians 1:6 say?
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Pastor, that's, to me, that is such a reassuring. being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day. So I'm being worked on all this time from now till Christ comes back to get us. And it's just amazing to me that the word that I think is the most challenging in that verse is confident, you know, and a good work in you. It's, we are called, God knows, you know, he called us before the foundations of the world. He chose us, and he'll never leave us. He's going to be working on us the rest of life. Even if we, I think, Pastor, this is true, even if we forsake him, he never forsakes us. He's always waiting. That's come true. Back to me. I love you. And so just great word, and just gives me a great deal of comfort to hear these words.
Oh, absolutely. You know, up in the New England area, there was something interesting that used to happen back in the last century. Very rough seas, very rough waters that would come in, and it was not uncommon for ships to flounder at that point during a storm, and lives previously could have been lost so quickly. There were a group of people who had these boats that they would take out, and they would row amidst the storm, against the waves, against terrible, horrible conditions, and to get out and begin picking up people and get them back on board to bring them back into shore. Now, the storm was so intense that now they're fighting everything, trying to get back to shore unsuccessfully. When they went out, there was a rope tied to one end of that ship or boat, and back on the shoreline on big wheels where the men on the shore would begin pulling and turning those wheels to pull that boat back in to rescue those people. And sometimes they'd make journey after journey out, going out, trying to rescue and bring them back in. By the way, it's where we get that hymn, Rescue the Perishing, from. And so every journey out, their strength of success was tied to the rope, tied to people that would bring them back. And, you know, that is the sense we should have as we grow spiritually, to know that that line is always connected to us. The very Spirit of God has us secure in Christ, and we are not going to lose our salvation. We can't fall from grace. We can't get so caught up in the world that we don't have him walking with us. It is an amazing thing of what God can do in our hearts and lives when we learn to trust him. Thomas Watson, an English Puritan preacher and writer from the 1600s, wrote, "The right manner of growth is to grow less in one's eyes." The humility that a Christian needs is extremely important. Our willingness to trust Christ is incredibly important for us to grow spiritually. And I think that is the message of tonight, to put Christ first, to get into the Word, to exercise your faith, to touch other lives. But to know if you're going to grow spiritually, you do it by being totally dependent on Christ. Jim, surprise, our time's up again. But isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to come as brothers in Christ, to share with people that we may not see by face, but we know they connect by the program, and we connect by faith, and we can pray and encourage them. Isn't that great?
It is great, Pastor. And I know we're out of time, but I wanted to just tell folks, go to askthepastornow.com on our website. The verses that the pastor gave us earlier on from Romans 9 and 10. If you are needing to be saved, go there. I think we're too close to out of time, but it says, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that believing that that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So go to our website and see those verses, Pastor.
All right. Thank you so much. And he's right. Good night. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question at askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.